Ever wondered what would happen if someone came into Europe and unapologetically drew lines on their map that would recreate the European countries as we know them today? Let's take it a bit further and imagine if one of the new countries included a fraction of Spain, a fraction of France, a bit of Italy, the whole of Austria, and what used to be West Germany. After redrawing the map, it would immediately be apparent that this new country would be an abomination that should never have been a country. This is a simplified version of what happened in Africa, and much like in our hypothetical scenario in Europe, the map and current borders of Africa represent modern geopolitical factions, or I dare say artificial countries, that were formed without the consultation, permission, or recognition of the land's original inhabitants. Welcome to Reason Africa. The single most important event that forever shaped the realities of Africa is one that took part in Berlin in 1985. In that city, major European powers carved up a blank map of Africa by the strokes of a pen. They created about 40 new countries overnight without regard to existing political entities, ethical boundaries, historical relationships and alliances or rivalries, and geographic and demographic variables. Many of these new territorial units could not inspire unity and loyalty to the new national identities because they were forced. Some of these borders are in active dispute, and some sections of them have yet to be formalized. To this day, the African Union has a border program in charge of clarifying where the borders lie and of preventing and resolving disputes about them. The result has been conflict, which often looks ethnic, but is really all about territorial control. Borders in Africa don't come close to following tribal lines, splitting some groups up and artificially joining others. The Ewe people of Togo would surely rather be united with the millions more of their people living across the border in Ghana. You see, the Ewe nation was split across different colonial countries, the English Gold Coast, German Togoland, French West Africa, which eventually became Benin, and modern-day Nigeria. The Igbo nation in Nigeria, with a current population of about 50 million people, continue to have aspirations of their own country. Chinua Achebe, who is regarded as the most dominant figure in modern African literature, openly proclaimed that his ethnic group of Igbo is no less deserving of their own nation-state than the Swedes of Sweden or Danes of Denmark. This random ripping and stitching together of nations happened throughout Africa. In East Africa, the Maasai's traditional lands were split between British Kenya and German East Africa, which later became Tanzania. In the south, consider Angola. In 1575, the Portuguese landed on the African continent's southern western coast at what is now the city of Luanda. They expanded from there, stopping only when they reached German, Belgian, or British claims of territories. The Portuguese consolidated the vast, almost Alaska-sized holdings into a single colony, but the only thing that the people who lived there shared in common was that they answered to Portuguese masters. And in 1961, that they rebelled against that rule, which they threw off in 1975 to become the country of Angola, an essentially invented nation. This may help explain why there are two secessionist groups in Angola today. Rethinking and redrawing Africa's borders could go a long way to resolving some of these conflicts. Countries could finally be framed around the de facto geography of ethnic groups. The new countries could use their local languages rather than favoring another ethnicity's or colonial power's tongue, for example, English, French, or Portuguese. In this new system, rebel secessionist movements would all but disappear, and democracy could flourish more easily when based upon policies rather than simple identity politics. On top of that, the new countries based on ethnic lines would by default be smaller, more compact, and more manageable for governments. However, by European standards, many of these new African nations would still not be small when compared with, say, Slovenia or Slovakia, which are themselves composed of ethnic groups that share a common ancestry, culture, history, and speak Slovene and Slovak, respectively, as their native languages. In much of the world, national borders have shifted over time to reflect ethnic, linguistic, and sometimes religious divisions. Spain's borders generally enclose the Spanish speakers of Europe. Italy and Croatia roughly encompass ethnic Italians and Croats. Thailand is exactly what its name suggests, the land of the Thai. Africa, on the other hand, is different. Its nations largely defined not by its people's heritage, but by European colonialism. But as the continent becomes more democratic and Africans assert desires for national self-determination, the continent's decision to maintain colonial-era borders is a subject of intense debate. However, for there to be any progress, there needs to be a paradigm shift in the collective imagination of African leaders. When the nations of Nigeria and Cameroon went to settle a border dispute in 2002, in which both countries claimed an oil-rich peninsula about the size of El Paso called Bakassi, they didn't cite ancient cultural claims to the land, nor the preferences of its historical inhabitants, nor even their own national interests. Rather, in taking their case to the International Court of Justice, they cited a pile of century-old European paperwork. Cameroon was once a German colony, and Nigeria had been ruled by the British Empire. In 1913, the European powers had negotiated the border between these West African colonies, but Cameroon's maps were apparently more persuasive. It won the case, and Nigeria handed over the territory. Around 90% of the peninsula's population, approximately 300,000 people, regarded themselves and their families as Nigerian and had to be resettled in Nigeria's mainland following the handover. This case again highlights Africa's continued commitment to colonial borders drawn without consideration for the natives. According to a 1967 article in the Harvard International Law Journal, the current colonial borders are pretty much a sum of the problems that still persist in Africa today. The borders are arbitrarily imposed, artificial barriers separating people of the same culture, and they have balkanized Africa. The borders are considered to be one of the humiliating legacies of colonialism, which independent Africa ought to abolish. When European colonialism collapsed in the years after World War II and Africans resumed control of their continent, African leaders of the time agreed to inherit the colonial borders, not because those borders made any sense, but because the new leaders wanted to avoid disruptive conflict due to mismatched groups. Conflict has decreased in Africa since the turbulent 1960s and 70s, and though the continent still has some troubled hotspots, the broader trend in Africa is one of peace, democracy, and growth. The threats of destabilizing war, of coups and counter-coups, have eased off, but separatist and secession movements still abound. There is no reason to think that any of the separatist movements have any chance at establishing sovereign states. Their movements are too weak, and the states they challenge are too strong. Faced with a secession attempt by the oil-rich and Igbo-dominated region of Biafra, Nigeria stuck with the old map, brutally putting a stop to the revolt. At a cost of 1 million lives, the Biafrans were defeated, and Nigeria, a nation the British stitched together out of three distinct administrative pieces as recently as the 1950s, was made whole again. And what of Somalia, a nation brought together out of three former colonies of Italy, Britain, and France? Somalia is today effectively three nations anyway, two of which, Somaliland and Puntland, do not have international recognition. This video is by no means sympathetic to separatist movements, but through them, it is becoming more clear that Africans are becoming more willing and interested in pursuing borders that more closely reflect the continent's diverse ethnic, religious, and linguistic lines. What this means is that if the borders are redrawn, there would be nation-states composed of single linguistic communities, with a state for every language. However, some geopolitical and logistical realities must be considered. Take a look at this map, published by Harvard University in 1959. It shows the approximate territorial boundaries of thousands of tribes and nations found within the continent. We can see that the boundaries are by no means uniform, since the extreme ethnodiversity is, to say the least, daunting. As home to the most linguistically diverse place on the planet, with more than 3,000 languages, this is why giving every tribe and nation in Africa their own country would likely be an effort in futility. And that is what makes drawing borders in Africa incredibly difficult. Instead of creating many mini-nations out of every language in Africa, how about if the borders were redrawn based on language families? Most languages spoken in Africa belong to one of three major language families: Afro-Asiatic, which mostly speak Arabic, Nilo-Saharan, and Niger-Congo, which is considered the most diverse in the world, containing around 1,500 languages and covering nearly all of sub-Saharan Africa. There are also the Hoysan and the Indo-European groups, which include Afrikaans. However, it's not only tribal affiliations that divide African nations, but religious ones too. Perhaps the clearest boundary within Africa is religion. It divides the continent into a clear Islamic North and Christian South. Whether these two could be separated to form two massive countries is up for debate. I did a more comprehensive video about this recently. Check it out next. Africa is not alone in possessing such fuzzy areas, as witnessed in the redrawing of maps in Bosnia-Herzegovina on the Balkan Peninsula, or the continuing ill-defined borders in Kashmir, or even the South China Sea. If you think about it, most border changes that have taken place and the desire to have further changes have a lot to do with the country's politics or state interests. Many ordinary Africans have little concern in making their country bigger. This means that availability of resources like basic needs, education, peace, political stability, and ease of doing business for a better livelihood are more important to a majority of Africans than where lines on a map are positioned. Maybe, just maybe, the desire to change Africa's borders is an elitist fantasy. While many countries have suffered border conflicts, there are some success stories of countries that have made incredible progress since colonization. At the same time, there is no better time to seriously think about the tangled issue of African borders. I'd like to know your thoughts in the comments section below. As always, guys, our desire to inspire a passion for learning about Africa runs deep. If you'd like to have a better understanding of Africa, start now by subscribing. Thank you so much for watching. I'll see you next time.